Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much. Hello. Hello, Dermot. Hello, Dermot. Hello, Dermot. No, still not there. Wait, now we'll try one more time. Give him one more chance. Here we go. Yay!
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. It's the last Friday in May. How did we get here? Seems like only yesterday it was January. Anyway, bank holiday weekend next weekend. Ryan Tuberty retires tonight from the Late Late Show. Maybe not retire. Yeah, but that's what he's doing. He's retiring from the Late Late Show. And we wish him well, and they've all sorts of plans there. I'm sure he'll be surprised throughout tonight's show, and there'll be hundreds of thousands of people tuning in to see how they bid him farewell and how he says goodbye to his Late Late Show audience. We got a lovely email during the week. You know, we do the quiz after 4 o'clock and we have lovely weekends away for people, and people are very appreciative of them. Well, we got a lovely email from one of our prize winners. Well, actually, this person didn't win the prize on the day. It was back in July of last year. And it says, "Hi, Ray, it's Joan Louise here. We took part in your quiz for a trip to the K Club. Louise was in St. James's Hospital at the time. I'm making contact to tell you that Louise and myself had our weekend for two in the K Club last weekend. Just want to let you know that Louise has been given the all clear from her cancer after intensive chemo treatment. I was wondering, would you mention it to give a big thank you to the other contestant, Olivia, once again for her generosity. We had a brilliant time thanks to the K Club and all the staff, Patrick, James and Lillian especially, for their kindness to us. Regards, Joe and Louise." And it was just one of those lovely moments because Joe had told the story on air about Louise being in hospital with cancer. And Olivia was the other contestant, Olivia Ryan from Talla. And she went on to win. She was a new mum at the time and she was on maternity leave with her first baby, Rose. After hearing Joe's story, it touched her and she said, "Listen, you have the break. You need the break." And thankfully, the people in the K Club gave Olivia a prize as well, so everybody was happy. But it was a lovely moment, and it was Joe's birthday as well, and it was just one of those lovely moments on radio that you feel good about mankind and humanity and all that sort of thing. Happy birthday! Please, can I play a happy birthday request for my much loved Una Malloy from Old Town, Cara Nace? That's a familiar name. She's our mammy. We are Orla Mary and Roisin Malloy. We love our chats with her. We discuss recipes, birthdays, horse racing, the Sacred Heart, Cara Village and plan dinner parties, right? The chat these days are always sunny and heartwarming, just like the weather at the moment. Thanks, Mum. You're top of the pops. And thank you to the Ray Darcy Show. And cheerio, Orla, Mary and Roisin Malloy. Happy birthday, Una. Have a brilliant weekend. Birthday weekend. Just to let you know, we're taking to the roads at the end of June. We're doing our 5Ks. We call them Run With Rays because that's what they are. You come along and I run with you and we do 5K. And we're starting up in Buncrana, nearly at the tip top of the country. Then we're working our way down to Sligo, across to Mullingar, further across to the east coast, nearly to Avondale in Wicklow, and then up to Corker Park in Clondalkin on the Friday. Now, we had Mary Jennings in on Wednesday to help us launch it, and then she stayed on and we did a little podcast. If you're interested, you can download that and have a listen to it, and we answer some of the listeners' questions. Anyway, we're open for registration. So rte.ie/ray, and you can register for the run. It'll cost you a fiver. You get the T-shirt and the whole event for a fiver. I think that's good value for money. It's a statement of intent. The fiver is a statement of intent. And then on the day, everybody gets their T-shirt. They all wear them. Lovely block of colour. It's a great community initiative. And a lot of people over the years have started running for the first time on the Run With Rays. They've been sort of thinking about it, and we gave them the impetus, the target, the motivation to get out there and do a bit of running. And that being said, if you were a fast walker and if you're at the beginning of your running journey, you can join us as well. So walkers are welcome. Anybody over 16 who wants to join us in Buncrana, Sligo, Mullingar, Avondale and Corker Park in Clondalkin, beginning on the 26th of June, just go to rte.ie/ray and we'll see you on the day. While we're on running, we have to mention Mary Hoare, who's 82, and she's going to be among those taking part in the Cork City Marathon next weekend. She's from Ballinspittle and she's been running since her 50s. So, you see, that's, you know, people say, oh, I'm in my 50s, I'm not a runner, I'll never start running now. Mary started in her 50s, she's now 82 and she's running the Cork City Marathon next week. She had seen runners take part in the much-loved mini-marathon one year and had a desire to take part. She's come first every year in her age group in that race. And throughout the year, she gets lots of training in. Every Monday morning, Mary walks with her walking group, formed back in 2006 with just three friends, but has grown to 32. Faith is a big support for Mary in her running. She's a devout Catholic and acts as a minister for the Eucharist for her local church. She wears a miraculous medal she got from Lourdes during most of her runs, and she prays before each run and walk also to grant her the strength to keep going. So well done, Mary Hoare. And we'll be hearing more about her, I'd say, in the coming week. At 82, she's completing the Cork City Marathon. Here's the thing just to be thinking about, and one of those little bits of information that you might dig out over the weekend when you're stuck. You know, when you're in the pub or whatever, or after dinner out having a barbecue and the conversation dies. You can say, oh, I heard your man on the radio say that research has found that 95% of couples with 20-year age gaps are more likely to split. That'll start a conversation going. So 95% of couples with a 20-year age gap are more likely to split. You'd sort of, you'd guess that, wouldn't you? After analysing 3,000 people, it found that couples with a 5-year age gap are 18% more likely to split up than those of the same age. And that figure rises to 39% for couples with a 10-year age gap and shockingly 95% for those with a 20-year age gap. You have nothing in common. Is that the thing? I don't know. But then, and I know we're going to get texts. I know there are... Always, there are always exceptions to the rule. But that's in general. And in general, we're experiencing fine weather today all over the country. I know there's going to be a pocket somewhere in the country that's cloudy or rainy. But we looked at the map and it looks like from our research that it's blue skies and sunshine all over the island of Ireland today. The island of Ireland. Was it Mary Robinson who introduced us to the island of Ireland? I'm just looking at yesterday's figures. It was the warmest day of the year so far. Thursday, the 25th of May. Moore Park in Cork, 21.6. Cork Airport, 21.3. Shannon Airport, 20.4. Phoenix Park, 20.3. Oak Park in Carlow, 20.1. And Casement Aerodrome, 20.1. And then there's the also-rans, right down to Johnstown Castle in the sunny southeast in Wexford, 14.9 yesterday. But the highest ever temperature recorded for May was 28.4 back in 1997. Now, I don't know if we're going to match that, but they're saying that we will experience a high pressure into next week, right up until next weekend. And there are going to be temperatures in the 20s, but I doubt that we're going to get a 28.4. Anyway, it's summertime. It is summertime. So we have license to do things like this.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Fizz bombs in my mouth, Babarama everywhere.
Summer tunes everywhere. Dangerous if I could sing.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Go on.
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Why did we come along? Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Why did we come along?
sort of overplayed with the Lotto ad, isn't it? Still a great song. ELO, Mr. Blue Sky. Katrina and the Waves, top summer tune.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to the summer nights.
Oh, a deep dive this morning on summer songs. You don't know really until you play them, you know.
Olé, 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 olé. Olé, olé.
That's probably trying too hard, is it, for May? It's probably trying too hard, is it?
Hot, hot.
And every summer, Eddie Grant comes out of retirement.
Oh, give me hope, Joanna. Hope, Joanna, give me hope, Joanna, for the morning come. Give me hope, Joanna. Hope, Joanna, hope before the morning come.
Yeah, Eddie Grant. And like, you know, at discos all over the country tonight.
I got a feeling.
Great summer tune.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it.
We've loads more. We'll pepper them throughout the show today. Great show. Darrow Breen is gonna hook up with us for a chat. He has a new podcast. Kevin McGahern, two funny men on the show today. And Colin Stafford Johnson is going to talk to us about wilding, rewilding, and apps that can connect us to nature. And if you want to get in touch, 51551 ray at rte.ie. Good afternoon. Not enough Bob Marley on the radio. Jamming. 51551 ray at rte.ie. On the running. Paul in Dublin's been on. How are you doing, Paul? Looking forward to joining you in this year's Run with Ray. It's 12 years after the original event. No, really, is it 12 years? It got me off the couch and into running. My message is, give it a go. If you've never tried before, you'll surprise yourself. That's Paul in Dublin. Thanks for that, Paul. And as per usual, says Mark in the west of Ireland, we've been lulled into a false sense of security with regard to the summer. Tell your listeners to get the barbecues out over the next few days, as it won't last. Sorry. Don't worry. We'll be plunged back into winter next week. Ah, Mark. And you're in the west. I believe the best of the weather is going to be in the west next week. Live in the moment. Isn't that what they say? Live in the moment. Old bangers, Ray. Thanks, Siobhan. What about the Corrs' Summer Sunshine? We'll see what we can do. And love that song that goes, we are hot, hot, hot. The Roscommon supporters sing it at all matches. They go, we are Ross, Ross, Ross. Ah, yeah, we are Ross, Ross.
Ole, 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 ole. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
It's a band called Arrow. And I was on holidays in London when it was released, and Tony Blackburn was on, I don't know what station he was on, but he played it every day twice because he loved it so much. And of course, it was sweltering in London at the time. So fond memories of that song. Arrow and Hot, Hot, Hot. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, two quizzers, three questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film, comedians, anything that involves human endeavour. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get two. That's 2 points. And if you answer with a clue, it's easier, so you get 1 point for a correct answer. And there is a prize. It's a two-night stay for two people in the Farnham Estate in County Cavan. It's located in the heart of a magnificent estate with 1,300 acres of mature woodlands and lakes to explore. It's less than an hour and a half from Dublin. Farnham Estate Spa and Golf Resort is a contemporary and stylish hotel full of country charm and character, surrounded by natural beauty among acres of rolling countryside. It's an 18-hole Jeff Hose designed golf course, infinity pool and a superb health spa inside and out. This beautiful country estate is a playground for the senses. Farnhamestate.ie, and thanks to them for helping us out this week on our quiz. Now, our qualifying question on this Friday afternoon. A big night tonight for the Late Late Show, but what animal is associated with the show? An otter or an owl? A big night tonight for the Late Late Show, but what animal is associated with the Late Late Show? An otter or an owl? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Dara O'Brien, good afternoon.
How are you, Ray? You well?
You're on the radio now. We're the original influencers, according to the ad.
Apparently, it's a direct message. It's a direct message into people's brains.
So yeah. There you go. Who would have thought it?
Radio? I've never thought of it. Wow, what an exciting new medium.
I used to argue with people when Twitter came out first that, but that's radio. We do it all the time. You know, we say something and people react. That's what radio
finally
is.
Finally, people caught up with your philosophy on this, Ray. Can I introduce a note of peril into this interview?
Go on.
I'm waiting for a freezer to be delivered.
Oh, brilliant.
I've been waiting all day for the freezer to be delivered, and I know these 10 minutes is when the freezer will be delivered, and the 11-year-old is currently having to look after this, and I do not want to know what situation the freezer will be in.
Look, if you don't mind, if the man does arrive, just put us on to your 11-year-old and we chat to them while you're organising the freezer.
It'll be better. Then whatever, they'll fob them off and, no, we just leave the freezer in the street. We leave the freezer in the street, they'll say, and they'll walk off.
Will they take your old one?
No. This is an addendum. We only have kind of a small one that works for the family, but we're getting a puppy. We're getting a puppy, so we need a freezer to party.
So this is one you can store a body in, is it?
Essentially, yeah. Yes, if we get tired of the puppy. Yes, that's exactly it. And this is my alibi. That I'm sure he's on the radio talking about the freezer.
Yes.
I can't have got the freezer to murder my wife with. This is madness.
Yeah, why would I say it so publicly if that was my plan?
It'd be ridiculous. Yes. Ridiculous. Why would I say that? Everyone would be looking at me in exactly this situation. No, it's honestly.
I know from past chats with you that you get very excited at the thoughts of a delivery.
Well, ding dong, somebody's at the door, here's a present. It's very, very true. But this one is, it's a freezer, it's a standing freezer. It's not that exciting.
We're
only getting it because we're getting a puppy.
Oh, great.
It was genuinely exciting, I suppose.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm going to put a little asterisk on that one. So we need more space for a puppy based stuff.
Is this the first time you've had a pet in the house?
No, we've had cats, and we have a one-eyed cat, we have a two-eyed cat.
Okay.
We have a tortoise, we have all sorts of things. But the puppy has finally, yes. Right.
Dogs are different. People have probably told you that. Yes, yeah.
They have told me that, yeah.
Now, just for example, last night, so Jenny was up at 3:30, I was up at 5:30, and Jenny was up again at 6:15 with the dog.
Oh, with the dog.
Yeah. And this is a mature dog who you would think is trained and all that sort of thing. But it's summer, you see, and the dogs wake up when the magpies wake up, and the magpies wake up at around, 3, 4 o'clock. Yeah.
I honestly thought I got past the phase of that.
You didn't think it through, did you?
Jesus Christ. Well, look, there's always a freezer there for the dog.
This sounds like the beginning of a joke, but you have a new podcast.
I do have a new podcast. Yes, I do. It's on Audible, and it's essentially a panel show. It's called Time Wasters. And it is about, basically, it's me and a couple of comedians most of the time. And we go through what are the things that you've wasted most time on in either small chunks of time, medium chunks of time, or like months and years of your life.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the joy of it is because we do that, obviously comedians are able to tell you a million things that they find irritating. That's kind of what we do about this little thing. Why do I do this? Why do I have this terrible habit? But we found that once you say to him, what have you wasted years on? Suddenly it gets a lot more reflective. You're there going, oh my God. Somebody will go, well, you know, my relationship, you know, broke up and I didn't get another relationship. Yes. I thought they knew it. And you're going, oh, I wasn't expecting this. Okay, this is a dramatic change in tone.
So it starts off with little irritants like, you know, apps or something like that.
Why do I spend so much time on Twitter? Why do I spend so much time on, you know, whatever, these kind of things is ridiculous. Why do I spend so much time stopping movies I'm watching in order to find out the name of the actor in the scene that I'm seeing, whose name I can't remember.
That's a good one, right?
That kind of stuff.
Is that your time wasting?
No. None of my time is wasted, right?
None.
It's part of the rich tapestry. The rich tapestry of life and all.
It's a well-rehearsed answer, but not great.
Thank you. I'll come up with something for the rest of the press run.
I was thinking today, like, this is a thing that left over from my youth, but like I was coming into work today. It's a really nice day here in Dublin. Short sleeves for the first time coming into the office, and I thought I better match them up with runners, right? And I have these bright blue runners that I only wear on holidays. And I put them on, but I knew I wasn't going to wear them into the office. They were just too, you know, they were too noticeable.
And
that was a waste of time. I knew before I tried them on and looked in the mirror that I wasn't going to wear them. And I do that constantly. You know, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to look different. One day you're suddenly going to look different. It's all going to match. It's all going to work.
Probably the most of my time is the pause I spend when I say to my wife, what should I wear? She's like, goes, in 20 years, I've never suggested what coat or jacket you should wear. Stop asking me, what coat should I wear? What jacket should I wear? We'll just buy a number of jackets of different tog and just wear the one in terms of the...
Do you have a uniform?
No, I'm not quite, but I should, because I do go, I sat at the door going, is this going to be good? Or am I going to regret not having it? Or will I regret having it?
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time doing that. I spend a lot of time just weighing up can this jacket be wrapped around my waist if it becomes too warm? Or will I be, well, I feel like, ooh, the sharp tug of the cold if I don't wear it. Yeah, I do that a lot. But yeah.
Now, I'm surprised that you haven't had a podcast before this, Dara, but you've been on numerous, but you just...
Yes, of course.
Why now?
Well, interesting, because I think this is much more like doing a panel show. It's much more like a format that we're doing, so it feels a bit more like doing
Mock the Week. Yeah.
But whereas any of the other ones where you go, right, well, here's a passion I want to talk about, I've watched all that whole world explode and go, Jesus, if I had 200 of them already in the can, it would feel like I could now step into this world. But I feel like it might be, you know, there's so many of these ones where people go, well, I've interviewed a million people about what their favorite, things such is, or what their, you know, and or the five things they would bring with them to. And you kind of go, oh my God, I can't enter this market now of all things. So this is a slightly different thing where it's very much a format show. Right. So it's like a piece of rather than a long interview.
Which brings us nicely on to Mock the Week, which was rested, I suppose.
God rested soul.
Was it axed or rested?
It was canned. It was canned because they ran out of money. They ran out of money, but they were not in a shiny floor studio show kind of world anymore. So they wanted to put it into drama, and it's TV slightly different now. And they just have less money, so it went. Interestingly, we've not even got to the bit where we would be doing another one yet from when they announced the last one. So we'd only be doing another Mock Week next month. So I've actually had no sense of loss at all, to be honest. I've been gigging all the time, so it's not really been a thing.
But the streamers are making shiny floor things, aren't they? And is there an American version of it? And where did it originate? Who owns it?
The American version of Mock the Week, the same producers who are doing it. And so they went over to do one there. And the man kindly rang me, the producer Dan, rang me and said, we won't be. And I said, of course you won't be using me for the American version. Absolutely fine. So, and also, because people go, you should bring it back. And I go, we said goodbye for 8 weeks. Then we did one in tuxedos where we did a compilation with We'll Meet Again by Vera Lynn over like a slow motion. We can't come back.
Yeah, you missed it.
We had both hands on the teat. I mean, we properly took every bit of emotion out of that thing. You can't then turn back. Like Neighbours turn around 3 months later and go, oh yeah, we're back. Remember that? That was kind of funny.
But the only thing I'll say to you is that it's obviously a different world, and that maybe if the American version of Mock the Week is successful, then they might want to do a UK version.
They might look. They might, and they might in that context, exactly in that context. Look, if they did that, they'd come to me, and I'll see what the story is.
Yes.
But you know, I have a kind of an element of I wouldn't want to do a bad version of it. I wouldn't want a cheap version of it. It ended very nicely.
Okay.
So
okay. Nice
I
memories.
Have, I have
nice
it in my
memories.
Head.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So now, I don't need to chase it.
Before we leave television, your name was bandied about when they were talking about the replacement for Ryan Tuberty.
Look, I'm very
excited.
I put my CV in,
right,
and I'm just waiting for the call. So I know that there'll be questions. They'll go, after the panel, you disappeared for 17 years, and I've got to go, I went travelling, and hope that they'll go with that. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Could be my big chance.
Was there a call put in, or is this
No, there never was. I mean, years ago, they asked me to do one of the chat shows years ago. But
right.
Around the time, whatever transition was happening, possibly a little bit after Ryan was coming in, maybe Saturday night or something like that, I got asked. Well, my interest was obsessed in that. But I have gone so far into just doing live, into tours. And so for me, it would be a straight of if I did this, that'd be 40 nights, Friday nights I couldn't spend in theatres.
Yes.
And I'm so far down that road now that I wouldn't give them up for the world. Like it was always an would you do 40 late nights or 40 Vicar Streets? And I'd absolutely never give up the 40 Vicar Streets. So maybe there might be a point where I'll do a bit more broadcasting if I get tired of the travel and everything involved, but it really felt like you got one shot at this to really go for it. And I, you know, went for it as much as I could on the live. I fancy that.
You're a contemporary of Paddy Kilty's or Patrick Kilty, whichever.
He would have been
a little bit ahead of us,
like whatever. And so I played support to him, I think, in somewhere in the north, somewhere very Protestant, north of Belfast, at Banbridge, I think. And it was kind of funny, I went up and did a support gig for him once, because he exploded big when the Empire started, and then there was the Empire Laughs Back, which is the television version of it. Like, and so he became quite a cult figure because of that. That was what hit him, but that was when we were only just starting off. So, he was a little bit ahead of us. And then went over to the UK when we were just all still here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not sure exactly his appear in that regard. In the same way that we didn't do a lot of gigs together.
Uh-huh. No, because already they're asking questions. They, as in the people in the newspapers who have to fill pages.
Yeah.
Can he possibly commute from London? And will he have his finger on the pulse of the Irish nation? And is that important if you're going to present the Late Late Show? You did the panel from.
We recorded but I remember that and there's two parts to that. The first part is when we started, I literally, and in the typical RTE style, have been talking to RTE for years, going, any chance of something, I said fine, and I moved to London, bought a flat, installed a phone, and the same day I got a phone call from RT going, we'd love to do the panel. I think. So it was like, my memory of it, I just literally plugged into the wall and it rang, and it was RT going, come back to Ireland. Yeah, and just the panel. So we always did a flying over, me and Ed and Maxwell and Colin coming down from Belfast, and Neil was the only one who was actually in the country at all.
Yeah.
That did, after a while, I found that a bit strange because we were topically discussing the news. And we weren't there for the news, right? And so, but I'm not sure if that applies as much in the Late Late Show. And also, Paddy's very bright. He'll be fine. He's coming out from a different direction as well and doing a very different thing. But I did find, I mean, the story I've told is we had Tom Dunn on once, and he was doing an impersonation of the guy who did The Apprentice, did the Penny Apples.
Bill Cullen.
And everyone's laughing, and I had a smile on my face, and you can see me with this rictus smile of going, is this accurate? This impersonation of Bill Cullen.
You have no idea who Bill Cullen is or what the reference is.
I sort of heard the name, but I don't know. Does he speak in that way? I don't know. I'm like, ah, well done.
Yeah.
And I found that for me wasn't. But then we were doing the news, like whatever. So we did feel, I mean, like Ireland, look, you are a feisty mistress, Ireland. You don't want people to come in and patronise you, but I don't think Patrick's going to do that. I don't think Paddy's going to do that by any stretch of imagination. It is, you know, I'd be aware of it.
You've been on it so many times. It's a big beast, isn't it, the Late Late Show?
It is. I know it is. And I think you can loosen the reins, and it may be more than it has. But it still performs its incredible service. And I think he'll be able to be loose with this, you know, and it won't throw him too much, like whatever. But what is interesting is there's two things that usually irritate me. My name does get occasionally mentioned, and only in tandem with betting companies, which I don't particularly enjoy. That's the one thing I find irritating, because it's always in somebody's press release from a betting company, and that's not a particular world I'm fond of. But but there is a whole thing of what was the thing I was going to say other than that? That would be a big serious point. There is that gear change, and it's kind of funny to have people when they discuss you going, but he's never done serious. He wouldn't know how to handle serious. That's it. I am incapable of having
serious conversation. Yes. Yeah.
All I can do I'm just standing there listening to some poor woman talking about loss, and I've got a custard pie in my hand going, when is the right time? When is the right time to plant the custard pie? So it's weird. People need to see that other side of you.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And Paddy has shown that side of himself.
Of course.
He doesn't have to prove that side of himself. So anyway, we wish him well. And
absolutely.
I was going to say you have a new king, but you know,
it's an interesting term. I don't know exactly how I'd say.
But do you? You live over there, and there is a new king. He's over here at the moment, I think. Yeah.
Oh, is he? Well, actually, weird. The one thing I'd always say to him, because I met him once when he was merely Prince Charles rather than King Prince Charles.
Yes. Just King Charles, not King Prince Charles.
No, King Prince Charles. He'll always be King Prince Charles. You can't dump the entire name. He was at an Irish embassy thing that's kind of like, it was when I was when the government asked me to form espionage I don't want to go on about it, but like I had to represent Ireland at a London embassy once. And they were there, we met them, and they said they at that point had gone to 19 different counties. Wow. And were slowly working on it. I said, he said, where are you from? I said, from Wicklow. I said, we're hoping to get to Wicklow soon.
They've been to Wicklow.
They have, because I got a phone call about 3 weeks later going, we were having a guest in Wicklow, would you like to go? And I said, yeah, I know who it is. It's King Prince Charles. But I won't be able to make it. So quietly, he's really into Ireland. And is ticking off. And so if he's over again, presumably this collector's thing, he seems to be ready to get, he wants to get all 32. So he's gone to, he must be in the mid-20s now.
There's a room in Buckingham Palace with all the jerseys, all the county colours.
Well, like that bit in Dublin Airport where you walk to customs, they're all framed up like that. There's one corridor. Yeah. I wake up one each time.
He's been in the North 41 times, which is probably more than most people in the Republic.
And there are people discussing the issue of the North who've not been down. I'm now going, okay, I must have done 41 gigs in Northern Ireland. I have.
Yeah, you have.
But I don't think I've ever been to Leitrim. There's still places that remain a mystery to me. A lot of time in
Monaghan. Have you never been to Leitrim?
I've been to Leitrim.
Which you've never done a gig in Leitrim. Okay.
I don't think I've done a gig in Leitrim.
The reason I ask this is because on my work all those years ago on Blackboard Jungle, I discovered that Irish geography, we're very poor at it. We're very poor at it, I remember I had to ask the question, what county is Listowel in, 6 times before I got a correct answer.
And the Listowel would be quite notable.
Yes, I know. You would think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're just not good on our own geography. I don't know.
Occasionally have to go, hang on, one of the 6 and one of the 9 and one of the 5.
Yes.
And the GA does help in that, But by the way, in all this discussion about the North and, anything, sit anyone from the Republic down and go, right, draw all the 6 counties of the North, just roughly, where are the 6 counties of the North? That would be a fun game. I think you'd find very quickly people go, I know Fermanagh is here. Is it like this? So I have a rough kind of benchmark of how I know which ones are at the top and which ones are at the bottom, but I would imagine. I'd like to think people listening to this right now are going to piece of paper.
They probably won't, because the failure is imminent. So Time Wasters is the new, and it's an Audible original.
Yes, it is.
I went on today, and I'm an unpaying Audible person, and they're giving me a month free to listen to you. And then after that, I can cancel, or they'll take money out of my account.
Take the month. Listen to me. Listen to John Ronson. Listen to Alan Partridge. That's it. You're done. You've had a good month there.
And Ed's there, as you mentioned, Ed Byrne and Deirdre O'Kane.
Deirdre O'Kane's in. Absolutely. I don't do these things without bringing a few friends in from over here. For God's sake.
So it's not the cabinet freezer. It's like a fridge. Is it?
I think it's one of the ones. I think it is one of the cabinet ones. You find they send you out to.
Yes. So it is like a coffin then. It's essentially,
but I'm presuming it's not going to be so big. I mean, how much does a dog eat?
What type of dog are you getting?
Retriever, golden retriever.
Oh yeah, we have a golden retriever. He's the guy who was up three times last night. Oh, just Jesus. For your information. Yes.
Jesus, and then, I don't need to hear this.
And then he went missing. I was out for a run walk this morning around UCD and the fecker went missing for 10 minutes. I thought he was gone. I wasn't too upset at the time, but no, I would have been very upset, obviously. But
Of course.
After being woken up three times. Anyway, that's all ahead of you. It's brilliant. You know,
Thanks, Ray.
It's not too late to change your mind, or is it?
I think it might be difficult now. Yes, I think the rest of the family have kind of got into the idea, and now we own a freezer. We own a freezer especially.
Okay.
It puts me in the freezer. I don't know who ends up in the freezer.
I don't know what the freezer's for. It's for what? For frozen? For his? For meat? Or for
meat?
He's going to be the best fed golden retriever in London. Okay.
I'm sure some people come to say that's the wrong thing to do. I don't care. Do not care. Don't come to me with this information right now.
Now, time wasters, beat this one for a waste of time. My wife used to fill and boil the kettle before we went out somewhere. We could be out for hours, but she insisted it would save time when we got back. There you see.
That's spectacular.
And it's Irish. That's great, yeah. Thanks for that. Any more time wasting, and we'll pass them on to Darren. He can use them in his next time wasting.
Be delighted to know.
Okay, we let you off. The man could be ringing the doorbell there with your freezer.
It could be RT finally ringing him at the late night. It's kudos who's going to be contacting.
Good luck, Darren. Great talking to you.
Good luck. Goodbye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Wildlife photographer Colin Stafford Johnson is here in studio, in from Wicklow, from the Wild Garden. How are you doing, Colin?
I'm very well,
good to
thanks.
See you. They're repeating it, of which I'm delighted, because it's a beautiful programme.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's always nice to see something repeated. You put a lot of work into it. And, you know, sometimes you might put a lot of work into a book or something like that, and that lasts for years. But sometimes a TV programme is so ephemeral and sort of disappears.
Yes.
So it's quite nice when they come back and the different audience gets to see them.
Of course. And when it goes out first, it could be up against a match or whatever. It could be a fine evening and everyone's out. So it's good. It's good to give it a second outing. So just remind people about it. It was a field owned by the family?
Yeah, it was just sort of an acre of land that we had in Wicklow, that we had a country cottage there years ago. And when we sold that off sort of after my dad died, we kept this little acre of land and thought that maybe someone one day might use it for something. And I was down there looking at it one day, and it was around the sort of COVID times. And I was spending an awful lot of time out exploring my local area, which at the time was in Mayo and Westport, but I was coming up to Wicklow regularly. And just thought, wouldn't it be lovely to turn, you know, all these sort of ideas I had in my head, because often I'm on TV sort of talking about things, but not actually doing them myself. Yeah. So this was a great opportunity to get out of spade again, which I used to love, the actual physical act of gardening. But I see this very much as sort of habitat creation rather than gardening. So I'm only using native Irish plants. And that is the key. I mean, if you want wildlife, native is the way to go. If you think, if you went to the other side of the world, you went to Argentina and you wanted to do something for Argentinian wildlife, you wouldn't import plants from Ireland and stick them in your garden in Argentina. You'd use Argentinian ones.
Yes.
Well, the same sort of idea here, although we do have valuable, very valuable garden plants for pollinators and things of that nature, you know, native pretty much beats them every time in the long term.
And we've, over the years, the centuries, we've imported an awful lot of non-indigenous plants, haven't we?
We have. Well, we've been turned against our own plants.
Why is that?
The cynic in me would say, well, it's all down to, I suppose, money and business. Yeah. Our wild plants are free and there's not much business in that. Whereas if you're bringing plants from around the world, you're selling them and you're creating an entire industry then of herbicides and pesticides and fungicides to protect them. And it's quite interesting. I just got back from France where a few years ago they have banned all these things in all their public places. You cannot use any of them in your gardens anymore. You can't use them in public parks.
The herbicides, the pesticides, they're all banned.
All gone. All gone from public places. Now, of course, they use plenty on the farmland still in places, but it is remarkable to see the transformation already. And that's what I think here. And I think we're at a very exciting time here, actually.
The poppies are out up in UCD. They're I suppose people would think they're weeds, really.
Yeah, well, you see, what is a weed?
Yes, I mean, well, there you go. What is a weed?
My idea is a weed that any plant that isn't Irish. That's my definition of weed in my book. You see, it's one of these definitions you can shift. I suppose it's a plant in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So any time an exotic creeps into my garden, it's removed. And I suppose the idea is, so when I, as I was this morning, sitting on my porch and looking down at my pond.
So you have a chalet or a shed type thing there.
Shed would be more.
Right, okay. But it's a lovely wooden structure.
Yeah.
And you've dug a pond.
Yes.
And you've wilded the whole thing.
And I have a wildflower meadow, I have wildflower hedges, I have a little woodland.
It's idyllic. It is idyllic.
Well, you see, you must come down sometime. Yeah. It is. In this fine weather,
for example,
it's beautiful.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I was listening to the birds there this morning. All the dragonflies are hatching. They're crawling out of the pond this morning, crawling up the reeds. Amazing creature. And they could spend a year, two, 3 years of their life underwater where they are voracious predators. I mean, the things that happen in ponds, you don't actually really want to know about. It's like the Serengeti in there. Right. You know? we look over this lovely calm scene of birds singing. But it's all warfare, actually. But our perception is that it's all lovely and calm. But seeing these dragonflies then take to the wing for the first time this morning, just they become these extraordinary aerial predators. So yesterday, they were eating all the underwater insects. And today, they're eating the aerial insects. It's quite extraordinary how a creature can have such two very different lifestyles, you know, like many insects do.
And frogs, are they?
Frogs and newts and lizards and all the little things you'd expect are there. So I'm sitting out in my cabin this morning, little lizard sitting on the step there beside me. And it's just for me, you see, it gives me a complete buzz. I mean, if I'm sitting out there, I really don't want to go any place or do anything. I'm just totally happy being there, really.
And the wonderful thing, which I think is a very generous thing to do, you're opening it up and inviting people in.
Yeah, well, I really get a buzz out of people getting a buzz too. Yeah. And you know, sometimes you're from radio or TV, you're removed from your audience as such. So I love when someone suddenly sees this thing crawl out of the water. They go, what is that? I said, watch it. It's going to turn into a dragonfly. Uh-huh. And they're just, you know, it just gets people going straight away. And people, I think, often they want to know what to do for biodiversity, but they don't know what to do. And so I'm hoping just to give people some pointers.
So this is an example of biodiversity
exactly.
there. On an acre of land, it's all there, it's compact.
Exactly, exactly. But it's amazing, an acre of land, I've got 500 yards of pathways within the 1 acre, going through the meadows, going through the woods.
And have you counted, say, the flora and fauna? Like how many?
I haven't done a total species count. And I, you know, it doesn't really, but everything that turns up, I don't care if it's a sawfly, or hoverfly, a butterfly, a moth, everything is welcome. And when I see something new, if I find a new plant, I know it's going to attract something new. Because there's such a close relationship between insects and plants. So if a new plant arrives in the garden, I'm thinking, hey, this means I can have it may be the food plant for a moth or for a butterfly or something like that.
And the newts and the lizards, I'm fascinated by them because we're a country that doesn't really, we don't normally associate Ireland with those sort of things. How big, newts are about what?
Oh, well, about four inches, something like that. They're displaying in the pond at the moment. See, the males curl their tails and they waft water currents towards the female. They're sending their scent towards them, their hormones towards them.
Okay.
And so the females are then grabbing bits of water weed, wrapping them up in their abdomen and then laying a single egg on each piece of weed. Whereas frogs come along and lay a whole load of eggs.
And what happens then? So there's a single egg.
And then it becomes like a tadpole, just like a frog, because newts are amphibians too.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the lizards are completely different. They're a reptile. And so they're living around the garden. They're hunting for insects and that sort of thing. But they have little spaces that they hang out in every day. So if there's a cool day, they will find... Have you ever gone to the sand dunes at the back of a beach and it's a bit of a windy, slightly chilly day? You'll find one place that's warm. But that's where the lizards will be. They'll find... And there might be, you know, a 10, 15 degree difference sometimes between
an aspect.
They'll find it. And that's where they'll be.
And you built a beehive as well, didn't you?
For solitary bees. Most of the bees in Ireland are solitary bees. So we've got one honeybee. And then, but the honeybee doesn't really have a major problem. The bees, when we talk about bees being in decline, it's mostly the solitary bees. So we've got honeybees, bumblebees, and then essentially most of them are solitary bees. So although I have it like what looks like a little beehive, it's like a little, holes drilled about 6 inches into a piece of wood. And these, say, mason bees that I have nesting in my cabin, they're all going to separate holes. They're not related in any way.
All right. They're just not hanging out together.
They're not hanging out together at all. They're just just all there because I put
so
the
there's
holes
no, there's
in
no
that
queen
place.
Or no?
Absolutely not. They are just, they are. They're,
God, I just assumed all bees hung out together in hives.
Oh, absolutely not.
There that, you go. That Every day's a school day.
Yeah, no, solitary bees are the way ahead. Leafcutter bees, things like that. These bees, they go down to my pond, they collect mud, they come back and they make little sort of cells of mud. And within that, they pack each little individual cell with pollen and they lay one egg into that and then seal it up. And that little egg will develop and that grub will grow over the summer, then will pupate over the winter. And then about next April, when the temperature is right, about 14 degrees for 3 days in a row, it will emerge by itself.
Right.
So it'll never meet its parents and fly away in the great pollinators.
Did you invite me down? Did I hear that invitation?
Of course, anytime. Oh,
brilliant. Okay, so I'm going to take you up on that invitation.
Do.
When people come in and you give them the tour with the 500 metres or 500 yards of pathway, do they get an opportunity to stand still? Because, like, your description of just being on the veranda of your shed, chalet, whatever, and just looking at the newt and looking at the dragonflies, that's idyllic to me.
Yeah, well, it is. Once the sun's shining, I say, like, just find a place, grab a chair, sit down someplace and just, you know, because we have a cup of tea and a sandwich and just relax and try and take it in and just get that sense, trying to get them, you know, the sort of sense I get from the place that sort of positivity I get from
it. Now, this is supposed to be a good bit, but we've run out of time. So you recommend Seek as an app, and it's S-E-E-K.
S-E-E-K. I think it's a fantastic thing. If you're out walking your dog, you're out going any place, and you see something, anything at the side of the road, be it an insect or a flower or something like that, you hold this, you know, the camera over it until it identifies us. And sometimes people can be a little bit snobby about, you know, oh, well, you should really be using a reference book. Well, I say, no, this is a great use for a mobile phone.
Yes.
And it means you can maybe identify all those little things that you've passed by for years and you didn't know what they were, because there's a lot of evidence to suggest that if we can identify things and we name them, we're much more likely to protect them.
All right, that makes complete sense. Final question then, because I remember watching your programme that you got seeds, wilding seeds from somewhere up the country.
Yes.
Can you remember the name of the person? No.
A couple of, I know there's a guy called Sandra Cafola in the south of Ireland who does genuine seeds, and this and the crowd in Northern Ireland, and I'm desperately trying to think of the name now.
What would you put into Google?
Well, native Irish, because there's a lot of seeds sown that are not right, so you have to be careful. But best of all, if you have a lawn like this, no more May, just don't cut. Reduce cutting and everything will arrive by itself.
Will it?
Over time.
Right. Fantastic. Nature is wonderful. Colin Stafford Johnson, thanks so much for coming in. And is there a website just before we go, or how do people?
I'm building one. Facebook, which probably makes me sound about 100, does it, Facebook? But anyway, that's where I am.
Okay, well, they'll find you anyway. Colin Stafford Johnson, and he's welcoming people out to his wild garden out in Wicklow. Thanks, Colin. Great to see you.
Thanks a lot.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning, Marion. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 515 on RTE.ie. Our local park has about 6 wild areas now. There's something special with them, even though they're a wee bit ugly. They're growing on me. I think what Colin was saying is we're not used to the look of a wild area. And then you will come around, like the poppies look amazing. So I think it's something we will get used to. And as we get used to it, we'll see the beauty in it. We see the beauty, like the beautiful day outside. In fact, it's a lovely day.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
For a sunny day.
Sitting on a dock of a bay, wasting time.
Here we go. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, when the sun shoots down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, on a blanket with my baby, is where I'll be.
We go for one more, one more. Yes, we will. How would that go down? A radio station where no piece of music is longer than 40 seconds. How would that work? Would that work out? Yes. For the TikTok generation. For the TikTok generation. Here we go, all together. Oh, oh, news just in. There are two quizzers standing by and there is a prize, yes, this week. We say thank you very much to Farnham Estate and Cavan for a two-night stay for two people. It's located in the heart of a magnificent estate with 1,300 acres of mature woodlands. I said there's a bit of wilding up there and lakes to explore and there's a spa and there's a golf course and loads of things. Farnhamestate.ie, farnhamestate.ie. Hello, Maggie.
Oh, hi, Ray.
How
good
are
afternoon.
You? Good.
Good, thanks, good. You couldn't be in anything but good form on a day like this.
Yes, you're in Kildare. Whereabouts in Kildare?
That's right, Castledermot, South Kildare.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Sun is shining.
Nearly in Carlow.
Nearly in Carlow,
yes.
Yeah.
And it's nice down there today?
Yeah, beautiful day. Sun is shining.
And you're hanging out with who?
I'm here with my little girl Maria at the moment. She's 8 months.
Oh,
and she's gone for a little nap.
Oh, so. Lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
So you have this time to yourself and the man on the radio.
That's right. Yeah. And the monitor beside me. So
right,
hopefully,
right.
Yeah.
Is this your first? Is Maria your first?
Maria's our first, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's going great. Well for you and Maria.
So far, so good. I'm still on maternity leave and enjoying it.
Right, great.
Yeah, I have the summer a few months until I'm back. So, yeah, it's all good.
Well, it's nice because, like as I was saying, the weather's going to be good for the next week. That's what they're telling us. Don't quote me in it. The man said it on the radio this morning. Yeah. And who's else is at home? Yourself, Maria?
Yeah, so it's me, Maria and Dennis. So poor Dennis is in work today.
And what's the plan for the weekend? Chill?
We're just going to chill. We're going to take it easy. A rare weekend that we're here. Yeah, there's neither of us from here. So we're usually on the road at the weekend in either Tipperary or Wexford. So this weekend we're just staying put. We're going to chill.
But yeah, that's where the two families are, they? Tipperary and Wexford?
That's right.
Ah, right.
That's right.
Why did you choose Castledermot, may I ask?
Just job. I work in Kilkenny and Dennis works in Naas, so it's kind of a halfway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Halfway house. Yeah. Equidistance.
That's it.
Compromise Castledermot. Compromise Castledermot.
That's it.
Yeah. you're up against Darren Brennan, who's in Wexford. Hello, Darren.
How's it going? Are you well?
Good. That's a great Wexford accent.
It is. It's a brilliant Wexford accent, isn't it?
So you landed there from Dublin, and whereabouts in Wexford?
Monaghair, beside Enniscorthy there.
Ah, yeah, yeah. And how long are you down there?
15 years.
Ah, right. Yeah, you're still true blue dub.
I'm still a blow in, yeah.
Yeah. And you're heading home. Where are you exactly?
I'm pulled in Kilmechanic here now at the garage.
Yeah,
I commute every day from Ringsend, Dublin bus and Ringsend, you know.
How long does that take you?
Coming in the morning, probably just over an hour and a half. Going home, be over 2 hours, depending, traffic-wise.
And you've sort of got used to it, have you?
Yeah, it's me kind of chill out time. That's the only way to look at it, really, you know.
Yeah. And music, podcasts, radio, what do you do?
No, I don't do podcasts at all. I don't know why. Just music, radio, music, CDs or whatever.
Right. And you've the weekend, you've Saturday and Sunday off?
I don't. I'm in work till Thursday. No. I'm on shift work.
Oh, are you? Right, okay. Right, we move on swiftly, Sajou. So any thoughts on the late? Will you watch Ryan Tubridy say goodbye tonight?
If I'm still awake, I will watch it tonight.
Yeah, of course, you're on shift work. Yeah.
I'm up at 4:10 every morning. But yeah, if I'm still awake, I'll be up to watch it all.
Okay, let's do the quiz then. Three questions each. I'll give you the category. You tell me if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue, it's more difficult to get 2 points for a correct answer. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's a drawing points, we go to a tie-break question. So Maggie in Kildare and Darren on the way to Wexford. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thanks. Best of luck.
Good luck, Darren.
Right, Maggie. Music bands. So it's music, but it's bands in particular. Do you want a clue or not?
I'll try no clue.
No clue. For two. Which band is this?
In touch with the ground. I'm on the hunt. I'm after you. Smell like a sound. I'm lost in a cloud.
Who's that?
Oh, God, I should know, but I've gone completely blank.
Now, do you want to throw out any name there that comes to you? No.
No.
That's Duran Duran.
Oh.
Hungry like a wolf, or the wolf, or hungry like a wolf, or something like that. Anyway, 2 points. You don't get 2 points. You get zero for that. Okay. 2 points for you, Darren. If you go without a clue, what are you going to do?
I'll go without a clue, right?
Without a clue, right. Was that your vintage Duran Duran?
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of, right. Okay. And Maggie, you're just a little bit younger, I'd say, are you?
Yeah, I should have still known it.
Known it, okay. Right, yeah. For you, Darren, then, for 2 points, no clue, who is this? Take
on me.
Aha.
Aha.
Mm-hmm. Aha. Was that an exclamation or the name of the band?
It was hoping it's the name of the band.
Yeah, that's correct. You got 2 points there, well done. Okay, Maggie, back to you. Our second category, Irish sportswomen. Irish sportswomen.
Okay, I'll go no clue, Ray.
No
Thank
clue.
You.
Okay, good luck with this. For 2 points, which Irish sportswoman is this? Oh, wait, now, we changed the faders. Oh, wrong fader. Right, here we go. Which sportswoman is this?
I'm so proud of Rachel now, being able to do all she's done, you know, and I'm hoping that she's got the opportunities through what myself and Katie and the other girls around at the time, Lisa O'Neill, I hope we helped her do that, you know, and it's lovely to see her doing so well, doing brilliantly, like, and I'm very proud of her.
Who's that?
This is not right, but is it Dermot O'Rourke?
No. Oh. It's Nina Carberry. Do you remember? She won Dancing with the Stars, yeah. A female jockey, or just a jockey, I suppose. So no points there. Right. Now, Darren, the way it looks now is if you get anything from this question, you're today's winner. Maggie can't catch you. That's the way it is.
Right.
So I have to ask you, do you want to go for a clue or not?
We go tactical and go to clue, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's Irish women in sport, or Irish sportswomen. This Olympic athlete once coached Ireland's fittest family. So who is this for 1 point and victory today?
Irish sports, there's a lot of brilliant women working in it. Genuinely, there's some women who are incredible throughout my career and who I have a load of respect for. And I just think that that doesn't really represent how many great women that there really are there. So I didn't want people to think I was being sort of disrespectful, I guess, towards that. You know, where are the women? And loads of people saying, where are the athletes? Which I think athletics is so hard to get positive attention.
Who's that?
I haven't a clue, but I'm going to guess Dermot O'Rourke.
Yeah, it is Dermot O'Rourke.
Is it?
Maggie, you gave him the answer.
I couldn't think of anyone else, to be honest.
Yeah, right there you go. Okay, Maggie, hard luck on that.
No worries.
Yeah,
we're going to send you. Enjoy it, Darren.
Yeah, we're going to send you.
Thanks very much, Maggie.
A Red Heart Show Keep Cup, and enjoy the last few months with Maria before you go back to work, and enjoy the sunshine as well. Thanks, Maria. Bye now. Bye. Darren, you're today's winner, which is
great. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's a lovely break for two up in Farnham Estate in Cavan. Have you ever been there before?
Never, no. Actually, I'm really looking forward to it now.
Yeah, no, I think you'll have a great time. Farnhamestate.ie, you can, if you get a moment over the weekend, you can look up that and see what's in store for you. Well done, Darren.
As soon as I get home, I'll be on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Drive safely. Have a nice weekend. See you now. Bye.
Thank
bye,
you.
Bye,
thanks.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Comedian and Dancing with the Stars contestant Kevin McGarren is waiting to sashay into Studio 7 in a moment. But first... there's a good summer tune, Shotgun, George Ezra. Kevin McGarren, good afternoon.
Hello, Raymond.
Do you have summer tunes that you go to when the sun shines?
Well, when you mentioned it, the first thing came to mind was California Love. You know that one? California Love. Is it Tupac? That's her. That's a jam, man. Like, I want to drive around rat mines with the windows open listening to that.
Yeah, but you want one of those cars that go up and down, though. The other ones you see.
Just put a few heavy lads in the back. Get the rugby team.
You'd have the arm out for that driver's tan.
Yeah, I have one solid farmer's tan on one side.
Yeah. I was trying to think of all the different types of tans you can get in this country. There's the
trucker tan.
Trucker tan, that's the arm out the window.
Yeah, farmer's tan.
Yeah, is there a sunroof that's just getting the head burnt
for
off.
For bald lads, yeah.
Yeah. For bald lads, yeah. But I was thinking of my own, not my own, yeah, right, okay. Great to see you. So the Cat Laughs comes around very quickly, and that's next weekend.
It does, man, yeah. We're hitting Kilkenny next weekend. It's the highlight of my year. It's such good crack.
Kilkenny, how many years is it going?
Oh my God, I would say 30 at least.
Yes, I remember in the first couple of years, Woody Harrelson was there.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah, was he doing a tight 10 or what was he?
I don't know.
Was he just
Woody
there
Harrelson, yeah.
Knocking about.
And then a lot of famous people over the years, I'm trying to think other people. Cillian Murphy was hanging around 1 year. And then I remember 1 year we were down there and we were doing a programme and John Bishop wanted to get on and we said, no, sorry.
Sorry, John. Come back to us when you're famous. We're not willing to take a punt on you.
Can't always get it right.
RT are so good at recognising talent.
That was Today FM.
Oh, was it Today FM?
Today FM, yes. You see, there you go.
So you can throw them under the bus now.
No. It was us. It was us. We made a call on a Saturday morning down at Kilkenny. How many years have you been going?
Oh, God. I would say maybe 10 nearly at this stage, yeah.
Will you explain to people who haven't been why it's so special?
Well, the city itself, like Kilkenny is a beautiful city and it's compact. So you bump into a lot of famous people. It's such a small little city. So it's usually great weather. Everyone's in a good mood. It's kind of like summer camp for comedians and an excuse for us all to spend time and get away from our families.
And there's loads of different venues. And you, so on the bill one night, there'll be three and an MC. And then you might be doing two gigs in the one night. So you have to walk from one to the other and then you'll be bumping into each other on the street. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I've got two kids now, so I'm only going down for one day. So I'm doing three shows in the one day. So that's, you're flitting from one to the next, you know.
And it's because you've children.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, when you're... When you've no kids, like I was spending 4 days down there and coming back and going straight to the hospital. but you have to be a bit more responsible now these days. So I think I'm allowed one day.
Because you just had a baby when you were on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, we had Jesse about 6 weeks before. He was 6 weeks old when I started.
Right.
And looking back on it now, that sounds insane.
It was insane.
Yeah, Siobhan was doing a lot of heavy lifting for 4 months.
But you hadn't planned to do Dancing with the Stars, was
I thought
there?
You were going to say you hadn't planned on having the child.
I don't know.
What kind of gotcha journalism is this? No, I was called in at the last minute.
Right.
I was the last one added to the bill, yeah. So I was out doing my Christmas shopping at the time. And they were like, do you want to do Dancing with the Stars? I turned to Siobhan, do we want to do Dancing with the Stars? And she said, yeah, absolutely.
And did you not say, but you were heavily pregnant with our child?
He was born at that stage.
Oh, was he? Sorry, was he? Six weeks?
It was really close. It was really, like, I literally left, where were we shopping? We left Liffey Valley, I think, or wherever we were. And I went straight into costume that day, like, you know.
Right.
Oh, there was no messing
about. So it was a late call-up, yeah?
Late call-up.
I've spoken to loads of people who've done Dancing with the Stars, and I think for people who haven't done it, they sort of nearly laugh at how intense people say it is.
Yeah.
Can't be that bad,
yeah.
But
it is.
It is.
100% it is. Like they tell you on the way in, they're like, you have to do contractually, you have to do 12 hours a week. So you're like, grand, I'll meet my contract. But then your dancer is like, I need you 5 hours a day every day.
Right.
So it was very intense. Like, I don't think I was really prepared for it. Or Siobhan either, like, you know.
So the toughest thing you've ever done?
I definitely say so, yeah.
But I mean, you can understand why people...
The bar is low for that, though. I've never really, you know, maybe the bog was hard.
One day.
One day in the bog was tough. Yeah. Silage season wasn't a pleasant...
I did one day picking fruit. That
was
tough.
Yeah.
That
was picking
tough.
Stones was never fun.
Oh, I did picking stones as well. Yeah, that's a mad one, wasn't it?
Yeah, too many stones.
Where do we put them? I can't remember
the
where
stones.
We put them. Yeah, you just throw them into the ditch or what?
Where do we put them stones? Do we sell them to a gravel factory or something?
I can't remember collecting the stones anywhere. I remember doing a lot of bending and throwing of stones, but I can't remember where they went.
It was essentially child labour laws were very lax in the 80s
Did you ever
and
90s. Cut thistles?
Cut thistles? That's no, what, I picked boholons.
What are boholons?
Not boholons, sorry. They're a yellow flower that kill cattle, but sheep are grand with it for some reason. So, yeah, they're unpleasant to pick.
Yeah.
What are they? I can't
So
think
we had a mini side on the curragh.
No
way. Now, the curragh is an expanse of land.
Right.
And when you're come out of a morning at 7:30 and you're looking at that with your little side and your man goes, okay, off you go.
See, I'm going like, oh, fancy Darcy's had a side.
No, I don't.
La-dee-da.
It was a hand side. This is great.
For a very small Grim Reaper.
Yeah. That would have been small. But those mad, you probably can't work under if you're under 16 anymore, can you? There's probably laws around that, is there?
I think guards will turn a blind eye in certain parts of the country. But no, I really enjoyed doing it. And like, I'd set out, I thought, like, as long as I get further than the other male comedians, I'd be
Bishop.
Happy. Dez and Neil and Fred.
Yeah.
Deirdre, and you did. Deirdre got to the final. Yes, so Deirdre's the comedian who did the best out of all of us. But
and did you do the best of the male comedians? You did?
Yeah. I did.
Six weeks or seven, I'll say that again. You're on this out in the 7th week.
On the 7th. No, it was 12 weeks. Right. 13 weeks altogether.
Right.
But I got fitter, I lost weight. And I tried everything. Like, instead of drinking a pint of Guinness, I'd drink a pint of wine in the evening times, you know. That didn't really help.
Why would you do that? I don't,
I'm joking, right?
Yeah. What about, because I read there that you actually had panic attacks and you had stage fright.
Yeah, and I'd never suffered, like, when you're doing stand-up, it's such a different thing.
And you've done television, you know.
I've done live telly, yeah. Like, you know, you go out to 500 people and, you know, you're grand, you're relaxed, but when it started getting really intense, when it got to the stage where nobody was making any mistakes, I was like, oh, this is too much for me. Yeah, I was having full-on panic attacks on a Saturday and just going blank. You know, like in movies when somebody looks out and they see, like, the flash bulbs and they see everyone's eyes, it was exactly like that. So I was like, this is too much, Ray. This is too much.
Right.
So I was nearly
delighted.
You're
not selling it.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not. I would not encourage you to do it.
I didn't ask, but thank you. Cat Laughs began in 1993.
Wow.
Do the maths.
I'm not going to.
No, it's 30 years old this year.
30. I think I said 30, didn't I?
Yeah. Kay in a Bammy Kilkenny City. And I remember over the years going down and always high temperatures.
Yeah, it was always good weather.
28 degrees. Yeah.
The only city where you don't panic when you see young lads walking around at Hurley's. You're like, oh, that's right. they're probably not going to a funeral.
The cast of Cheers, Police Academy, and the voice of Homer Simpson, Dan Castellaneta, were there for the first and best year. There you go.
There we go.
And Bill Murray did it in 1996.
Yeah.
Right. And Ragworth, that's what you're talking about.
Talking about Ragworth.
More important than Bill Murray. From Bill Murray to Ragworth.
Is this your people texting in, or is this you?
No.
You don't need the internet.
No.
You've got a brain trust here.
And they're brilliant because they'll correct you and they'll inform you. And it's brilliant.
Yeah,
I was saying to Dara Breen earlier on, name dropping, sorry. But it's like radio is like Twitter. You know, so you just put something out there and it comes back right at you. So 3 gigs next Saturday as part of the Cat Laughs Comedy Festival.
That's right.
Will you be talking about, and you have 30 seconds to answer this question, Dancing with the Stars?
I will, yeah. Definitely touch on it, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to discuss.
There is, yes.
Yeah.
And would you be showing them some of your Paso Doble?
You know, learning dancing on Dancing with Stars is a lot like doing Irish for the Leaving Cert. The next day, it's gone.
Oh, right.
I couldn't cha-cha for you if you asked me to. Ray,
I wasn't going to ask you, but thanks for that. Kevin McGarren, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Raymond.
Yeah, catlaughs.com. Sarah and Cormac are on the way with Drive Time. We are back on Monday at 3:00. Enjoy your weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.